Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Bet, six lines from the bottom. Tnan Hatam. We have a Mishnah in Arachin. Barishuna haya nitman yom 12 chodesh. Kedei sheichalut lo. Here we're speaking about a case of selling a house within a walled city. The rule in the Torah is if you sell a house within a walled city, you have a right to buy back the house in that first year. If you do not exercise that right to buy it back within the first year, then it's chalut, means that it's permanently sold, and it does not come back in the ovel. That is a permanent final sale, and there's no reversal of that sale. So in that first year, you have a right to redeem it. Now, in your right to redeem it, obviously you're going to wait to the last moment in order to redeem it, because in essence, you have a loan from this individual. He's given you money or rent to live in the house, and so you're going to pay back that money at the last moment possible because that's the return of the loan. So on the last day of the year, when it came to that decision point where the seller of the property could redeem the house and take it back, but the person who's living there, if he doesn't get redeemed on that day, he will get it permanently. So what they used to do was hide. They used to make sure that they were not available to take the money on that final day, and therefore the house would remain in their possession. Hitkel Hillel HaZakein, Shecholesh et Ma'utav L'Lishka. Hillel HaZakein was mitaken. They used to be able to throw his money into the Lishka, basically into an escrow account that was made for this purpose. Beit Shoveret HaDelet, V'nichnas. And he breaks the door down, goes back into his house. V'metai Shirtze, Halo Yavo V'tol et Ma'utav. And the other guy, when he feels like it, he can come pick up his money, because his money's waiting here for him. So that was, V'amarava, Mitakanato Shel Hillel Nishma. The conclusion that we will come to from this Takanav Hillel is, Hari Zegiteich Almanat Shetitni Li Mataim Zuz. If he says, this is your get, on the condition that you give me 200 Zuz, Venatanalo Emidato Migureshet Al Kocho Eno Migureshet. If she then gives the money to him, and he willingly accepts the money, then the get is a good get, and the Girushin go through. On the other hand, Al Kocho, if they impose on him and they force him to take the money, ain't a migureshit, then the get doesn't work. How do you know this? Mid the itzrich le hillel litkune netina ba'al korche davila netina. The fact that Hillel had to intercede in these cases and say that the granting of the money against the will of the recipient doesn't work, that shows you michlau d'ba'alma netina ba'al korche lo havia netina. Everywhere else, Netina that is given where the receiving party does not want to receive it, that is not called giving or paying. On the other hand, Hillel came here and said, that's not the case. I'm going to make a takana to resolve this issue, which is, despite the fact that the recipient doesn't want the money, it's still considered as if you gave the money to him. But Roi Rashi phrases it as that Hillel's takana applied broadly to dine mimonot. But who says that it has application by Isurim, and get is a din of Isur? That's the way Rashi differentiates and says, the fact that Hillel was mitaken here shows you that everywhere else being be Isurim. On the other hand, other Rishonim just see it as, it's unique to this issue of Batei Arei Chuma, but any other case, it doesn't apply. Isur or Mamon, there's no such thing as giving Baal Korche. Tosavot over here discusses a distinction that the Gemara is going to make in 1 second, which is between Ben Bifanav and Ben Bishalo Bifanav. Does it make a difference if the recipient is present or if he's not present? Over here, Rava makes absolutely no distinction between whether he's present or not present. That means that even if he's standing there and the guy is throwing the money at him, it would make no difference according to Rava. For that reason, Tosfot asks, why were they running away and hiding? They didn't have to hide. He could walk down the street, and the guy wants to give him the money and say, too bad, I don't want it. I don't want the money, I'm not going to accept it. That should have been sufficient grounds. Before the Takana of Hillel, the baseline, which is what's being described here by Rava, is any giving that's against the will of a recipient doesn't work. Doesn't matter if you're present or you're not present. So then what were they worried about? Why were they running away and hiding? So Tosafot gives two suggestions as to why that was the case. Either because the person would be too embarrassed, and that this guy who sold them the house, he's standing in front of him and he's saying, here's the money. And the guy goes, no, I'm not going to take it. That would be just too much for him psychologically to handle. And he would end up taking the money back. So he hid, so he didn't have to face the guy and have to deal with the situation. Or the possibility that Beit Din would intervene. That's what it says. Yashua Beit Din, Dene Kablin Bal Kocho. The Beit Din might intercede here for him to accept them against his will, because that is the right thing. The guy is present, he's trying to pay it back. He really should accept the money back. So that's how Tosafot deals with this fact that they were hiding, even though it seems here that there's no reason to hide. It didn't matter if they were present. Even if they were present, it wouldn't have made a difference, and they could have handed the money and said, I don't want it, and it doesn't work. Then, Matif lo Rav Popo, V'item Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, V'dilma, ki itzrech le litkune shelo b'fanav. Maybe the Takanav Hillel was only necessary when the individual wasn't present. Aval b'fanav. But if the individual is present, ben midato, ben ba'al kocho, havia nitina. Whether he gives it and there is a willing recipient on the other end, or he gives it and there's an unwilling recipient on the other end, it will make no difference, it'll go through. So here you have a challenge from Rav Papa or Rav Shimi Ba'ashi saying that Rava's conclusion is not so straightforward. Rava assumes that Hillel's takana dealt with both bifanav and shelo bifanav. Says, I'm not sure that's the case. Maybe in the case that it was bifanav, he didn't need to make a takana because it wouldn't work then. Hillel came to intercede because they were nitman, they were hiding, and it was shelo bifanav. In the case of shelo bifanav, maybe over there you can't give it against the will of the recipient. But face to face, you could give it against the will of the recipient. Now over here, Tosafot tries to be magdir exactly what this circumstance is. Because in the case of a repayment of a loan, a person can pay back the creditor, and it doesn't matter whether the creditor wants to accept the money or doesn't want to accept the money, it's done. When he comes to pay the loan back, that's it. It's done, and the money goes to the creditor. When it comes to a gift, and someone gifts something to another party, the other party can refuse to accept it. You don't have to accept a gift. So which of these two models does this fall into? Is the model here a model of matana, which means that you can refuse and you don't have to accept it? Or is the model over here a model of a creditor receiving his money back where then you could force it? What Tosafot shows over here is that it's neither of those models. And the difference is because in a case when you're paying back the creditor, over there, there is no detriment to the creditor. The creditor is getting his money back. There's nothing negative happening to the creditor. That is not true in our case over here. In both the cases, both the case of get as well as the case, especially the case by the Batei Arei Choma, if he accepts the money, he doesn't get to keep the house. So it's not just the straightforward case of a creditor just taking the money back. Over here, there are ramifications that are negative for the recipient. So that's why you can't compare it directly to a case of payback of a creditor. Matana. You can't compare it to a case of matana where it would seem the party could refuse to take it. Because over here, there is a mechanism by which, first of all, in the Batei Arei Choma, the mocher is able to buy it back. The Torah empowers him to buy it back. So to say that the other party can just refuse doesn't seem to be what the spirit or the intent of the Torah was. The intent of the Torah was the mocher could buy it back. And in the case of a get, when the husband says, Almanat, in some ways he forfeited his right to refuse anymore. He's saying, here, I'm putting the ball in your courts. You pay the money, you have a get. You don't pay the money, you don't have a get. The fact that he should be able to refuse later on, that seems strange. So Tosafot says that's exactly what the tension is over here. The tension is between a matana and a loan. Each one of those has a clear path. By matana you can refuse, by loans you can't refuse. This sits somewhere in between, because in both cases, each party has one side here. It's to the detriment of the receiving party. But on the other hand, the party that's granting it has some rights here and was granted some rights. And because of that, maybe it should go through even against the will of the other party. So that's the nature of what's being said, or the question of Rav Papa is that maybe shelo b'fanav, abofanav, ben meto, ben ba'al kocho. You know, maybe in front of him it works that way, but shelo b'fanav, there, we don't know where it fits exactly. And so maybe that's where Hillel had to come in and intervene on behalf. Ikad amrei, amarova, mitakanato shelo arze giteich, amanat shetitni li matayim zuz, v'natana lo, ben midato, ben balko, avinitina. If she gives it to him, whether willingly or unwillingly, it's good. V'chi itztrichle le Hillel litkunei, shelo b'fanav. Hillel's whole takana was shelo b'fanav. Meaning basically the questioner of Papa in the previous case is the premise of Rava's statement over here. Aval bifanav, ben bedato, ben bal kocho, avinitina. But ein hachanami, if it's done face to face, you give the money and they can't refuse to take it. So Matkiv lo Rav Papa v'itema Rav Shimi bar Ashi v'dilma avilu b'fanav nami b'dmidato in al korcholo. Maybe when it's in front of him, it has to be done willingly as well. V'hilel mad itzrichle takin. Whatever they needed, he was mitakein. The issue wasn't the case of when they were in front of him, because if they were in front of him, we already discussed in Tosafot, maybe over there they would feel compelled to take it, or Beit Din might intercede and force them to take it. So that's where, it wasn't where the problem was. The problem that Hillel faced was they were hiding. And it was Shelo b'fanav. So Hillel dealt with the issue at hand. That doesn't mean that the other tzad is not an issue as well. Just that issue wasn't presenting itself as the problem here. The problem was they were hiding. So Hillel dealt with that with his takana. But not to say that the other case means that it's just fine. What it comes out in the end is that Rav Papa is able to challenge Rava's assumption in either way. No matter which way you frame the takana of Hillel, you could say it was the other way. And so because of that, that really deals or speaks to the uncertainty that we're speaking about here, which is where does this fall? These cases, which seem to fall between the case of creditor and the case of matana, where does it fall? And there is a tension. And it's a tension that's being acknowledged. And therefore, it's not clear how they function, both again, bifanav and shebelofanav, even if there should be such a distinction, or if there is such a distinction, then maybe in one case it does, one case it doesn't. And all of that comes out of this tension about exactly where this fits. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol makom sheshana Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'mishnatenu, halacha kimoto. Anytime Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is mufia, appears in a Mishnah, the halacha is like him. Again, I've mentioned this before, Tosafot, many places in Shas, discusses whether this means only in a Mishnah, or does that mean in any Tanaic work that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel appears? Many times they answer up problems by saying that the way it's phrased here is any Mishnah, not any Tanaic work, and therefore just because he appears in a Braita doesn't mean we're going to say the halacha is like him, even though many times we do say that anyway. But nevertheless, there are three exceptions. Chutz, with three exemptions. Me'arev, v'tzidan, v'raya achrona. So now, the reason that's brought over here is because tzidan is one of the three exceptions to the rule. Tzidan was found in the Mishnah. That was the case that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel brought to support his position with the case of the cloak in tzidan that got lost, and then they allowed her to pay money to replace it. So he brought that example of tzidan, supporting his position that you don't have to give the exact object that was demanded, but you can make payment in lieu of that object. Here, Rabbi Yochanan says, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The other two cases, one is found in Baba Batra, is the case of an arev. When an arev makes a full-fledged guarantee on the loan, then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you still have to go after the loveh first if the loveh has assets. The creditor does not have a right to go after the arev. He must first stop with the loveh. On the other hand, others believe that he can go to the arev first because this type of arev over here was a full-fledged arev. He was not just simply a backup or a guarantor. In that way, he was a guarantor on par, pari passu, with the loveh, and therefore he can go after them first, and that way the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you have to go to loveh first, but here you can go to the arev even first. Raya achrona, two mishnayot that are one after the other in Masechet Sanhedrin, with regards to discovery in a case. When it comes to discovery, you can make a demand of the individual, please bring all of your proofs and all your witnesses in the next 30 days. What happens if he does not bring them in the next 30 days? So the Tana Kam or the Chachamim suggests, then he's out of luck. He didn't bring his within the time frame, he's done. Shimon Gamliel says, even if he brings evidence after that time period, we still admit that evidence to the case. The second Mishnah there says, if he says, I have no evidence, and then later on he shows up and says, I found something, I found a demon, he brings the evidence. Once again, there's a machloket. The Chachamim or Tanakama says, you can't bring them, they're not admissible to the case. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, they are admissible to the case. So Raya Achrona means the second Mishnah. There, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In the first case, it is. I mean, if they gave him a 30-day window and then he brings it afterwards, that evidence is admissible and still part of the discovery process. Whereas in the second Mishnah where he denies having evidence and then brings it later, there we say the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and he's no longer allowed to bring evidence into the case. So those are the three exceptions to the rule, and our Mishnah being one of those exceptions. Tarabanan, harizeh giteich v'niyar sheli. This is your get, but the paper belongs to me, ena migureshet. She is not divorced in this case. As you can see, Rashi notes over here. He didn't hand her anything of substance. That he has to place something into her hands. All that he has here are the letters. He calls them utiot porchot ba'avir. He has letters floating in the air because the paper belongs to him. That means that he never handed anything of significance or substance to the woman. That's why Rashi and Tosafot also earlier in the Masechta, when we discussed this earlier back on Daf Chav, that's what they say the deficit is over here. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that the deficit over here is that it's lacking in kritut. It's not a safer kritut. If he keeps the paper, then there's something withheld within the get. We say that a kritut has to be a full severance and a full giving. Over here, by him holding back the paper, there's some residual that he's holding back, and that's the failure or the deficit in this case. Now, earlier on in the Masechta, if you remember, this discussion on Chaf and Bet had to do with Isurei Hana. There the Gemara says, if you give a get on Isurei Hana, it is a good get. That might be because there's no demand that the get have any value. We're not speaking here about the value of the paper. All we're speaking about is there something physically there, which is that if you have a physical object, then we're fine, it's a get. If you have nothing physical to give, then it's not a get. And that might be the distinction that's drawn between that and Isurei Hana. It's a little more complex, as we, I think we discussed back there, because sometimes we say that Isurei Hana are kitute mikhtachure, as if they don't exist. And that would present the problem here by get. Almanat shetachziri li etaniyar. Then if he makes a condition that, on the condition that you return me the paper, migureshet, then she is divorced. Maishna resha, umaishna seifa. What's the difference between the two cases in the Mishnah? Now, Rashi notes over here, and all the Rishonim agree, that the Gemara here is making an assumption that the almanat doesn't do anything. We saw before, and the Gemara will come to this conclusion in the end, that Rabbi believes that almanat is kemi achshav dami. It's as if you said, immediately it takes effect. That will make a difference. Because if it immediately takes effect, then you don't need the paper anymore after that moment, after the time that the get is effective. The problem here is that the condition is that she give back the paper. That means that the get only becomes effective when she gives back the paper. But once she's given back the paper, the get's not in her hand. So that's why the Gemara wants to know here, I don't understand. If in the first case it's not a good get, then in the second case it should also not be a good get. Because in neither case did the get go effective when the get was in her hand. So what's the difference between the resha and the seifa? Amar Rav Chisda, Hamani, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's the answer. The answer is that we're talking about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Amar, titin le dameha, that he said in our Mishnah that when you lose the object that you were supposed to fulfill the tenai with, you're allowed to replace that, or in lieu of that, you're allowed to give its monetary value. So Hachanami, so too in this case, Efshar demafaisale bidemei. She can give him money. Instead of handing him the paper, she can hand him money in lieu of the paper, and then she can keep the paper. The Rishonim here are mitlabeit, whether that means that she really has to give the money, I mean that if she gives the money, then it's a good get, or simply the fact that she could give the money makes it enough, the paper, that it's hers, that she can have a get. I mean, since she has a right to pay the money and keep the paper, that's sufficient grounds to make it into a good get. Although most Rishonim believe that she has to physically pay him in order to keep the paper, and then it becomes a good get, because then she's mekayim the tenai. At the moment, the paper's still in her hand, and then it's a good get. Matkif lo abayu. Abayu says, I'm not sure that your paralleling of these cases within Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is correct. Imor damar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel hechad dalete be'ene. That's true when the object is no longer here. What Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah is, you lose the cloak, you can pay for it. But if the cloak is present, who says you can pay for it? You can pay in lieu of that. It sounds like you have to give the cloak back. When the object is physically here, who says that you can replace that with monetary payment? There it sounds like you have to give the object back. By the way, this also speaks to how expansive the idea is if someone asks for something. Before, you could have argued in the Mishnah that almanat, that you give me back my, give me my cloak, then you could argue that's a personal item. And he wants his cloak. And if he doesn't get his cloak, that's what the failure is, according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says, okay, you can pay the money. Over here, we're talking about a generic item. We're talking about paper. And nevertheless, we still see over here that the Gemara entertains the fact that he demanded paper, that literally she has to give the paper back. So you see from here that it's nothing to do with a personal item. It simply has to do with the way that he states it. Whatever he states, he means. And that means that we're going to take his word at face value. And if he says he wants the paper, he gets the paper back. And only Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allows you to make payment in lieu. But that does expand what we saw in the Mishnah, not just personal items, but even any item. As long as he states a specific item, that becomes what he wants, and you can't give anything in replacement of that. So then Abayi says, what's the difference between the Reish and the Seifa? Hamani, Rabbi Meir he. The author of this Braita is Rabbi Meir. Damar binan t'nai kaful. They need a t'nai kaful. V'hacha, halokafle l'tanei. And over here, he failed to make a t'nai kaful. What Abaye now is bringing up, and we will now continue to discuss this in more detail, is an idea that Rabbi Meir has. It's machloka that he has with the Chachamim and the Gemara and Kiddushin, where the main sugya is, and we'll get there and discuss it even more detail there. The idea that the paradigm of t'nai comes out of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain negotiate with Moshe that they want to stay in the Eivar Yardin. Moshe says to them, I'm sorry, but I don't think you can do this. Remember, your forefathers also wanted to stay on this side of the Yardin, and that's why we've been wandering in the Midbar for the last 40 years, because they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. You're indicating that you don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain answer back, that's not the case. We are willing to go in, we're willing to battle, but we want to settle over here. So Moshe then confers with Hashem, and then comes back with the following statement. If you go chalutzim lifnei atzava, if you go in the forefront of the battling armies that go into Eretz Yisrael, then you can come back here and settle here after that. If you do not go in there, then you have to take a portion of property with everyone else inside of Eretz Yisrael. So that is a t'nai, a condition. The Gemara sees that, or Rabbi Meir sees that as the paradigmatic t'nai, because it's not so simple or so straightforward that the fact that you can make a t'nai at all. A t'nai is coming to say, we've made a kinyan, we've done a masir, we've agreed to something, but then somehow through my oral stipulation, or maybe in a written stipulation, I'm trying to unwind it or block it. Why is it so obvious that a condition can work? Condition seems almost like an afterthought or a reversal of what he was trying to do before. And so therefore, you would have thought possibly that t'nai doesn't work at all. So we go to the Torah and say, t'nai does work. But if the Torah is that vehicle or mechanism by which we see t'nai works, then we have to follow the protocol of the Torah. And in the protocol of the Torah, one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu does when he speaks to Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain is a t'nai kaful. He gives both sides of the scenario. He says, if you go forward and fight, then you get to settle over here. You don't go forward and fight, then you settle in Eretz Canaan. Even though it's obvious, if he tells you one, the other one can be inferred from the first statement. Despite the fact we demand of you to make both statements at t'nai kaful, and to say make both statements, the Chachamim disagree with that and do not necessitate a t'nai kaful. So what Abayi says is, the failure over here, why it is, harizek dech v'aniyar shali enu migreshet, Almanat shetachziri li et aniyar migreshet, is because they fail to have a t'nai kaful. And for the way that Abayi explained it, again, harizek dech v'aniyar shali, that's a failure. In the second case, it's a failure because there's no t'nai kaful, and that's why it becomes a get, which is, harizek itech almanat shetachziri et aget, he did it wrong. He didn't give it both ways. Harizek itech, Im takzili et aniyar, imo takzili et aniyar, eino get. He didn't put both sides in, and that's just a failure in his t'nai, and that's why it's a good get. Now, how extensively does Rabbi Meir say his position? Tosafot over here claims that Rabbi Meir believes that all dinei mimonot, you require t'nai kaful, as well as all the other conditions that are laid out over here. It's only be'isurim that Rabbi Meir says that you do not require t'nai kaful. It's a din in dinei mimonot, it's not a din in isur. That's how Tosafot differentiates. Others narrow the scope of where Rabbi Meir applies. There's necessary, even within dinei mimonot, where the nature of the transaction might influence how we view whether you need a t'nai kaful or not need a t'nai kaful. Tosafot somewhat hints at that, even though this is Tosafot Shita and other places in Shas, because Tosafot over here in the last line says something that he mentions in other places in Shas where it comes up, which is Omer Rabbeinu Yitzchak. There are Gimel Emyanim, Yesh. There are three different levels. Yesh Mikomot, Dibin and T'nai Gamur. There are certain places where we need you to make a specific statement about the conditions of the transaction. Well, Rabbi Meir, Tanai Kaful. In that case, Rabbi Meir would require a full Tanai Kaful. There are some places where we just need you to make it clear what your intent is. We don't need you to go through the mechanisms or machinations of the Tanai Kaful and all that. We just simply need to know what you're thinking. And there's some places we don't even need you to articulate it. It's so obvious from the circumstances or the environment what is happening that we know that's what you're doing. Right? That might be the case by a shchiv meira. It might be so obvious that a shchiv meira, when he's gifting it on the premise that he's going to die. And if he doesn't die, then there's a reversal of that gift. So there's certain circumstances like that. The classic example is the Gemara in Ketubot that discusses a person who's making Aliyah Eretz Yisrael, sells all of his possessions, and then doesn't make Aliyah. It was clear there that he was selling his possessions because he was making Aliyah. If he doesn't make Aliyah, it's clear that he didn't intend to sell them. There you may not even need Gilui Dat. There are other places where simply just making the person aware of the item is enough. And there are other cases, like here, where you have to make the stipulation. Over here, there's no reason to believe that this person is holding back in the maaseh unless he specifically states it. If he gives a get, we assume that he's divorcing his wife unless he states the conditions by which he's going to do that. Or similarly, in any monetary transaction, when there's no reason to believe there's a condition, if you add conditions, they have to be laid out like a full tnai, and according to Rabbi Meir, that includes tnai kaful. So Gemara says, matkiflo rovo, taima dulo kafle litanei. That's because he didn't double up the tnai. Ha kafle litanei. Had he doubled up the tnai, meaning he had given both sides of it, lo avigita, then it wouldn't have been a get. Michte, kol tnai meheche gamrinin lehu. Where are all Tanaim learned from? Mitnai Begad Bnei Ruvain. The paradigm that we've spoken about, Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain. Mahatam Tanai Kodim Namaseh. Af Kol Tanai Kodim Namaseh. Just like in the case of Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, the condition preceded the result or the fulfillment. So too, in every case where you have a Tanai, the condition must precede the Maaseh. So by Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, it says, Im Yavru, if you go in front of the army, then you will get your possession over here. So the tnai, the condition, leads before the maaseh, before the resultant kinyan or action or whatever is supposed to happen is afterwards. Again, this would make a lot of sense because a maaseh, an action, is so powerful that once you've done the action, then to come to try to unwind it with a tnai is very difficult. If you put the condition first, then that becomes the premise by which the action takes place. So it makes sense that we would demand that you put the tnai before the maaseh. It makes so much sense that Rashi says over here, ben the Rabbi Meir, ben the Rabbanon. Rashi claims that Rabbanon only argue on Rabbi Meir with regards to tnai kaful. That's the only area of their machloket. All the other conditions that we're going to mention here, even the Rabbanon agreed to that. So now you can understand why Rava is rejecting Abaye. Rava rejects Abaye because, according to Rashi, Abaye is setting up as a dat yachid, it's Rabbi Meir. Whereas according to Rava, he's bringing up a stipulation that even the Chachamim agreed to. But that's dat Rashi. Almost everybody else disagrees, including Tosafot over here, says that that's not the case. The Chachamim argue on all of these positions of Rabbi Meir that we're going to mention here. Every one of them, we learn out of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, and every one of them, according to Tosafot, the Chachamim argue on that position of Rabbi Meir. La mishum delet le rova kol omer amenat komer me'achshav dami da'achi hilchata. I told you before that the premise of this whole Gemara is that almanat does not mean me'achshav like Rabbi said before. If that's the case, then Rova could have answered almanat. If he didn't answer that way, seems that he doesn't hold that way. Tosafot says, don't come to that conclusion. Rova holds that almanat is me'achshav dami. So the reason that Rova is answering this way is not because he doesn't know this other answer. The answer he wants to do is he wants to make it the Divrei HaKol. He wants to explain this Braita according to both Rabbanan and Rabbi. So whether you hold Amanatis Kachshav or not Akshav Dami, he wants to make this work. And that's why Rova, despite the fact that he could have answered, as we're going to see in a second Amanat, he doesn't use that answer. But then according to Tosafot, who says that the Chachamim disagree here, what is Rava's position, or what is Rava offering over here that Abaye didn't offer. Abaye says the problem is Tanai Kaful. Rava says, forget about Tanai Kaful. What about the fact that there's no Tanai Kodem Lemaseh? And that's the failure over here. What you have to say is that all through Shas, there are a multitude of Mishnayot that require or have Tanaim that are written in them or cases that have Tanaim. Nevertheless, most people pass on like Rabbi Meir, and we require a Tanai Kaful. None of the Mishnayot mention it. So what Rava says is, no Mishnah or no Braita ever mentions Tanai Kaful, even though it's a requirement. So we're just going to say the same thing over here, which is that the Braita here didn't mention Tanai Kaful or didn't lay it as a Tanai Kaful, because it never does. It's assumed, right, if you hold like Rabbi Meir, it's just assumed it's a shortcut. The way Allah shown is, like, make a Tanai. You know how to do that. The way you do that is make it a Tanai Kaful. So Rava says, but something like Tanai Kodem Lemaseh, which is not as obvious and not as straightforward, that the Braita should have mentioned explicitly. So that's the way Tosfos. So Rashi again explains that the easy difference between, it's because here the Chachamim don't disagree, and that's why Rabbi says it. But Tosfos will have to explain it something along these lines, which is the fact that it's not written in the Braita is indicative that there is a problem. Tanai Kaful is something that we assume throughout Shas. And that's how Tosfos distinguishes, the Tosfos that we just mentioned, distinguishes between these two. So it says, Afuke Hocha, the Maseh Kodem Tanai. And that's what the problem here is, that the Masa is before the Tanai. And since the Masa is before the Tanai, that's the failure in the Braita. Arei ze gitech v'niyar shali. This is your get, and the paper is mine. There he never gave up the paper. There's no Tanai there. Meaning that there's no condition, because he's given the get withholding the paper. Over the second case, which is, Amanat shitakziri li et niyar, on condition that you return me the paper. In that instance, he puts a condition after the maaseh. He said, "Hari zeh gitech, the get is done." Al menat shetachziri le'tanayar, he puts a tanai afterwards. That's why the failure, and that's why it's a get, because his tanai isn't meaningful in that case. In the first case, where he gives the get, but he retains ownership of the paper, there's no condition. He never gave up the paper. Since he never gave up the paper, it's not a get. In the second case, he gives up the whole get, and then makes a condition that you gotta give me back the paper. That condition is meaningless. It's too late. Basically, right, because he put the tanai after the maaseh. All right, so then, Ela amarova mishum de maaseh kodem tanai. That's the problem over here. Matki flo Rav Adar ba'avo. So now Rav Adar ba'avo challenges Rava and says, Taima de maaseh kodem de tanai. Ha, tanai kodem de maaseh, lo avigita. Had he put the tanai first and then put the maaseh, it wouldn't have been a good get, because the tanai would have held. Michdei, kol tanai meichi gamrin en lehu, mi tanai b'nei gad u b'nei ruvein. Every tanai that we learn out is from that paradigm of Negamrit. Mahatam Tanai b'dvar echad u'maseh b'dvar acher. Over there where the condition and the action are separated. Af kol. So too in every other case. Lafukei ocha. To exclude the case here, the Tanai u'maseh b'dvar echad. That the condition and the action are on the same item. Now first of all, Rav Adar ba'avo basically plays Rava's game. Rav Adar ba'avo says, Rava, you're telling me that the reason you rejected Abaye is because whatever the Tana writes in the Braita is just shorthand for whatever he means. So if you're telling me that Tanai Kaful doesn't have to be written explicitly, it's just shorthand, why don't you say the same thing about the Braita? When he says he puts a Tanai in a Maaseh, that's just shorthand for saying that you need a Tanai in a Maaseh, you gotta do it right. You gotta put the Tanai before the Maaseh. Rava could argue it's a little different there, because there, literally, you mixed up the order, and maybe that's more significant. But Rav Adar ba'avo says, look, Rava, if you're going to complain Abaye about leaving that out, then I'm going to complain about you too. Just say that he wrote shorthand, and that's implied in the Braita. So what does he do? He goes to a fundamental difference that has nothing to do with the language. Doesn't matter what you write in the Braita. Doesn't matter which way you write it, or how it's written. You can never claim that the Tana meant this, because the problem here is so fundamental. The problem is that the condition and the maaser are about the same object. As Rashi says over here, b'get that small. The get is the action, you're giving the get. The condition is about the get itself. So there you have no separation between the two. In the case of B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain, the condition was, you go fight the battle in Eretz Yisrael. The result is, you get to live in Eivrei Yarden. The two are not connected at all. One is the action, and one is the Tanai. The Tanai is go fight, the action is you settle over here. The two are separate. The way Tosafot frames it over here is, you can't have the Tanai and the Maaseh mutually exclusive or contradictory. Over here, that's the problem. The Maaseh says he wants to give the get. The Tanai says it's not a get. So you have mutually exclusive statements coming one is the Maaseh, one's the Tanai, and they contradict each other, and that's the failure over here. Rashi says it's just more about the object is the same object that you're discussing in the Tanai and in the Maaseh. As Tosafot says, that they're mutually exclusive statements, and that's the problem here. But either way, you do not conform to the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. Tosafot does point out there is one exception to this, which is the case in the Gemara in Sukkah, where the Gemara in Sukkah says that I'm giving you this etrog, amanat, that you give it back to me, which is a matana, amanat achzir. So you do a matana, amanat achzir. Tosafot over here says you're yotzei the mitzvah of etrog. Well, why don't we say they have the same problem here? Because you have here a maseh and tanai bedaber echad. If you have maseh and tanai bedaber echad, then it's problematic. That's what it says, basically, what you're suggesting, which is the two are not mutually exclusive over there. Here, the fact that he takes the paper back or wants the paper back makes it ois get. She can't have a get because the paper is with him. Over there, you're able to give the matana and then take it back because matana amanat achzir is a matana. And he only needs it momentarily to be mekayim the mitzvah. And therefore, he's able to be mekayim the mitzvah. That's the way Tosafot describes why the Gemara over there works. So here we had four different answers. The first answer said it's authored by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's rejected by Abaye. The subsequent three answers of Abaye, Rova, and Ravader Ba'ava all play on that this is Rabbi Meir. And there's some failure in Tanai, B'nai Gad, and B'nai Ruvain. And from here, you see the different conditions that are involved in Tanai, B'nai Gad, and B'nai Ruvain. So, that's what Elam HaRavadar B'Avah, Mashum Tanai, Masib, Dvar Echad, that's the failure here. Ravashi goes a totally different direction. This is what the Gemara back in Daf Chof answered the difference between the Reish and the Seifa is. Amar Hanamani, Rabihi. Who's the author of this Braita? It's Rabbi. Damar, Ravun Amar Rav. Kol Omer Amanat, Komer Me'achshav Dami. Anybody who says Amanat is Gomer Me'achshav Dami. It's as if you said it happens right away. So now, why is that meaningful over here? Because if he answered the get, Amanat, that you give me the paper back, that means the get is effective immediately, held in abeyance till she is Mikayim the Tanai. So when she later on is Mikayim the Tanai and hands the get back, it was already effective when it was in her hand. And then you don't have a problem at all. Because the effect of the neget is immediately, and that takes care of all of these issues. That's what Rashi said before. All the other Amoraim are assuming that Amanat doesn't function as Me'achshav, and that's why they're trying to answer this through other ways. The simplest answer is what Rashi says over here, that Hamani, Rabbi, that it's Rabbi that says that Me'achshav is Ke'amanat, Amanat is Ke'achshav, and you are done. Now, how far does that go? Many of the Rishonim believe, the Rif, the Rambam, believe that Amanat is so powerful that even Rabbi Meir will agree. That's what I mentioned before. The Amanat is so powerful that even Rabbi Meir will agree that it's not subject to the normal rules of Tanai and B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain. If you use the Lashon of Amanat, you are done. And by the way, that's how the Rashpo explains the Gemara in Sukkah. Why does the Gemara in Sukkah work? When he says, I'm giving you this etrog Amanat that you give it back to me, he says that Gemara is according to Rabbi, who says Amanat is K'miachshav Domi. He does not say what Tosafot says over here. That couldn't work even according to the Chachamim. But rather, that's the Shita of Rabbi, and that's why the Gemara over there thinks Amanat works in the Gemara and Sukkah. But that's the Rif, the Rambam. The problem with that is, it's very difficult to understand their position. Because what Amanat does is strengthen the Maaseh. If you think about it, Amanat says that Me'achshav it's effective, and there's just some Tanai that is left over in the residual. Now, if we talk about Tanai and Maaseh as being competing interests, where a Tanai is trying to hold the Maaseh back, or prevent the Maaseh from taking effect, and that's why we have all these requirements of Tanai Kaful, as we mentioned before, Tanai Kodum the Maaseh, is because we want to make sure that the Tanai has enough power to hold back the Maaseh. Over here, Amanat basically says is that the Maaseh happened right away. And the Tanai is just like little residual thing afterwards. It's actually weakening the Tanai. If that's the case, then why would Rabbi Meir ever agree in this case to say that you don't have all the requirements of Tanai? Over here, you should even more so need the requirements of Tanai Kofo and Tanai Kodo the Maaseh because the Tanai is so weak. And so therefore, many Rishonim, the Ramah, the Ramban, and many others question this position of the Rif and the Rambam and don't really understand how they can say that Rabbi Meir would agree in this case. The Raivud, in defense of that position of the Rif, suggests something interesting, which is, it's the nature or the difference in a Tanai. When you talk about a masa and a tnai that are separate, then you have this problem of how strong is the tnai versus the masa. Amanat does something to connect the masa and the tnai together integrally. So integrally that you don't have to worry now about competing between the tnai and the masa, because it's as if the tnai is built into the masa now. That's what the amanat does. The amanat is a lashon that embeds the tnai into the masa. That's how the Ravid explains that position of why even Rabbi Meir might agree in this case. But again, these all have halachic ramifications, as we noted before. Number one is, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Where do the Chachamim disagree? Number two is, when we say the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, it's clear by Yisurim that's not the case. But even in Dinei Mimonot, how extensive is that? Tosfot says any Dinei Mimonot. Others narrow it to more narrow cases of Dinei Mimonot. And again, this case of Amanat is an example of that, where the Rift and the Rambam say even Rabbi Meir agrees by Amanat, you don't need this. And it's not, he will even agree to Rabbi in this case, whereas the Balei Tosafot do not say that. So all of these have halachic ramifications about how extensive Rabbi Meir's position is, and where do we pass them like him. Itkin Shmuel begita d'shchim meira. Shmuel is mitakin in a get of a shchim meira. Im lo meiti, lo yehe get. If I don't die, this will not be a get. Vim meiti, yehe get. If I do die, it will be a get, which is Tnai Kaful, which seemingly indicates that Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Meir. So those that want to paskin like Rabbi Meir bring Shmuel as a proof to the fact that we paskin like Rabbi Meir. Many other Rishonim disagree and say that Shmuel was just doing this to strengthen the get of the Shchim Meira and to make it clear. We had something similar to this back. Tosfot mentioned this with regards to the Shita of Rav, that Rav says Aloha ki Rabbi Yossi. And even though later on in the Masechta, Rav was mitakein that min yomad danan, that you have to put in the get, that from today, it's effective even though there's a date in there. And Rabbi Yossi says a date is sufficient. What Tosafot said back in Ayin Bet Amud Aleph is that Rav just did that the Rav Chodamilto, which means that he wanted to improve the nature or the writing in the get, and therefore he wrote it in a manner that would make it, even according to the other Shitot, it would work. And so many Rishonim argue the same thing here with Shmuel. Shmuel is not necessarily paskin like Rabbi Meir. What he wants to do is make it so powerful that it's clear that this is what the intention of the Shchim Meira is, and he puts it in writing even though it's not necessary. The other reason might be for Kohanim, which is that Kohanim are psulim to marry someone not only who's divorced, but someone has a reach haget. Even if there's like a smell of a get around this person and she's almost a grusha, it's a problem. So here, by the case of Shchim Meira, you could have argued that a Kohen, if he is a Kohen, couldn't take back his wife, because here there's a reach haget associated with this woman. By instituting this language, what Shmuel did was made it into an ois get. He made it clear that this is not a get. If I do not die, this is not even a remote get. It's not even a reach haget. And that will allow the Kohen to go back to his wife. So for those different reasons, either because Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir, the Rav Chodamilta, or for protection of Kohanim, Shmuel added this lashon in, which is, im lo meiti, if I do not die, lo yehe get, it won't be a get. Im meiti, yehe get. Your question is a good question, because we already said in the Mishnah before exactly what you're asking, which is, im meiti doesn't work. So if you look here in the Tosafot read, he says, perish hachi tzarech lemeimar, im meiti yehe get mehayom u meachshav. The Tosafot reads as implied in this is that you got to use the proper language. It's not, this is just a shorthand for saying that you got to do what's right. Imeiti doesn't work. We know that. You have to add it in mayom or meyachshav. Umshum de tanina la beferish bimatnitin. Since it was explicit in the Mishnah earlier, lo itzrich Shmuel le memra. Shmuel didn't have to mention it over here, but that is exactly your question. The Tosafot Reed wants to clarify that and say, no, of course they use the lashon of mayom or meyachshav because it can't be a get after death. But we do have a problem, which is, the lema, imeiti yehi get, im lo meiti lo yehi get. Let him say, if I die, it will be a get. If I don't die, it will not be a get. Now, there are reasons to do that, which is one of the structural parts of B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain is that the hain goes before the lav. The positive statement goes before the negative statement. Moshe says, if you fulfill and go through and lead the people in the battles, then you will inherit over here. If you don't, then you have to inherit in Eretz Canaan. So therefore, we make the positive statement first, the negative statement second. So the Gemara wants to understand, why aren't you saying the same thing over here? Im meiti yehi get. If I die, it will be a get. That is the positive statement, not positive in the sense of the good, but positive in the sense of that will have the fulfillment of the get. Im lo meiti lo yehi get. So the Gemara answers, lo makdim inish purnato lenafshe. person never puts first the outcome that he prefers not to happen. Over here, he doesn't want to die. That's not what he wants. So therefore, he doesn't want to make the statement imeti, which implies that that's his priority or his preference. So he puts that in the back end to say, look, my preference is not to die, and this will not be a get. But if I happen to die, it will be a get. So let him say, lo ye get, im lo meti. So now, wait a minute. So we can adjust the language in order to deal with it and say, lo ye get, it won't be a get, im lo meti, if I do not die. So be'inan, snai, kodem the maset. You can't put lo ye get, which would have been a positive statement then. It should not be a get, im lo meti, because you need the tnai, kodem the maset. We need the condition first. So then you have to put the condition first, which is im meti, and that would cause you a problem. So matkif lo rovo, michte. So Rava says, wait a minute, you want to go back to Tznai B'nei G'nav Yehuda? I mean, Tznai B'nei G'nav Ruvain, Ma'etam Hein Kodem Lalav. Over there, where the positive statement is before the negative statement, Afkol. So to in every case, Lafuke Hocha, Dalav Kodem Lahein. Over here, the case is you're putting the negative statement before the positive statement. El Omer Rava. Rava had a different language that he put into the get that Shmuel had suggested, which is, Im Lo Meiti Lo Yeh Get. If I do not die, it will not be a get. Imeti, yay get. If I do die, it will be a get. Imlometi, lo yay get. If I don't die, it won't be a get.
Triple.
Three languages. Why? Imlometi, lo yay get. The first statement he makes is, lo makdimi nishpurnato lanafshe. He puts the positive quote-unquote statement first, which is, if I don't die, it's not a get. That way he feels good about it. Imeti, yay get. Imlometi, lo yay get, bin an hein kodem lav. The second two will be the structure you need for a proper tanai, which is the fulfillment statement first, and the non-fulfillment statement second. The question is, what does Shmuel think about this? So there are two possibilities. Either Shmuel thinks that this is not mandatory, even according to Rabbi Meir, because hain before the lav is not obvious from the story by Moshe Rabbeinu. It just happens to be that's the way he stated it. But it's not mukhrach that he had to do that. Doesn't mean that he has to say the hain before the lav. It just happens to be that in that circumstance he put it before the lav. Doesn't mean you can learn out something from that. On the other things that you learn out there, they were unnecessary unless this was something that was a rule. For instance, to say both sides of it, that's not necessary. You could have inferred one side from the other. And therefore Moshe giving both sides shows you need a tznai kaful. Tznai kol in the maaseh, that wasn't necessary. You could have put the maaseh before the tznai. The fact that Moshe does that already indicates to you that the tznai before the maaseh. The hain before the lav is not mukhrach. It would have been that Moshe just chose to do it. That's one way you can explain Shmuel, that he doesn't think hain before the lav is really so fundamental. The other possibility is that Shmuel can hold, like the Balei HaTosafot in Kiddushin. The Balei HaTosafot in Kiddushin say the words hain and lav do not mean the fulfillment or the positive accomplishment versus the negative accomplishment, but rather your preference. The preferential outcome and the non-preferential outcome. And that's what Moshe did. Moshe said the preferential outcome for Reuven and Gad is that they go before the armies and they get their inheritance over here. So to over here, what's his preferential outcome?
Not to die.
So therefore, he puts that first. And then second, that's what Shmuel will say in answer to Rova. I don't need three lishonot because you misunderstood. Hain and Lav doesn't mean the fulfillment, non-fulfillment. It means the better outcome or the more preferable outcome versus the less preferable outcome, and I accomplished that in my statement. And that might be Shmuel's answer to Rav over here. Mishnah. Harizegi teich, amanat shetishamshi et abba, amanat shetaniki et bini. So he gives her a get, but there is a condition in the get, and once again here you're going to have to say, see here, harizegi teich, amanat. So either that is because Rabbi Meir then doesn't matter, because Rabbi Meir thinks amanat overrides all conditions, or you have to say that these are like the other Mishnayot and Shas, where even though it says Arizik Gideich Hamanat and it puts the Tznai afterwards, it really means there was a Tznai Kaful, and it means that the Tznai was before him in the Maaseh, and even though it's not written out, it's implied in the Mishnah. Right? So Arizik Gideich Hamanat Shetamshem Shiat Abba, this is your get, but you have to now service my father. Hamanat Shetaniki Et Bini, or that you nurse my child. Kamei Min Yakato, what is the duration of nursing? Shtei shanim, 2 years. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shmona asar chodesh. It's 18 months. That's why when we talk about weaning of the child, that's what they speak about by Yitzchak and Sarah. That was after, by Yigamel, that is after 2 years. Or that's the machloket here between 2 years and 18 months. So first of all, in all likelihood, it's his own child. The child's only that young because there was a child born to the two of them. And therefore he's asking her to nurse the child or take care of the child. In the Yerushalmi, there is a machlok whether she physically has to nurse him or she just has to pay to nurse him. She doesn't have to physically nurse him. By the mere fact that the Mishnah indicates that there's a time period for nursing the child, Rashi notes over here that for the father, Linyan Shamesh Taviv Koy Mechayav, that there is no limit with the father. The fact that the Mishnah mentions a limit by the child shows you by the father is no limit, which brings up the question, isn't this a problem of lack of kritut? We said before that a get only works if there's a severing of the relationship. Doesn't this keep the relationship intact? The answer that Tosafot mentions over here and others mention is that that's not the case over here because here it's not dependent on her life. It's dependent on someone else's life. If it was the rest of your life you have to serve as my father, that would be a problem in Sefer Kitut. That would not be a get because then the relationship is never severed. As long as she's alive, she still has to deal with this. If the condition involves a third party, then it doesn't matter. Even though that third party may live longer than her, it's not a guarantee. That third party could pass away or something could happen that would terminate that relationship. Therefore, there is a safer kritut. There is a severance of the relationship here, even though it may take a long time to sever that relationship. Meita ben, osha meitav, if the child dies or the father passes away, hari ze get, then it is a good get. Rashi over here claims, kodem azman. Before the elapsed time that was necessary, they passed away. For the child, that means before the 2 years elapsed. For the father, it means died, basically. It wasn't for much time. Now, Rashi demands over here that she at least had to have done something. She had to have nursed a little bit. She had to have serviced his father a little bit. And then they died. That is enough. But had she done nothing, she never nursed the child or never serviced the father, never had a chance because they died too fast, Rashi says that that would not be a get. Because she never accomplished what he suggested. She has to be mekayim the tnai in some form. It doesn't matter how minimal, but at least in some form. The Balei HaTosafot disagree over here, and the Balei HaTosafot say over here, even if she does absolutely nothing, it's a get, because she was ready and willing. Now, Tosafot explains that by making a distinction which was not clear. Even on Ayin Dalet Amanaf and Ayin Dalet Bet, Rashi there is soter himself with regards to a divorce. In one case, he says nobody wants to get divorced. And therefore, when the person says almanat, he's really stalling for time. He says get l'rechoka ka'ati. He's trying to distance the woman. Therefore, he's trying to stall for time. And the almanat is just a way for him to buy time to be mefaced the woman. Adayin Dalman Bet, he says, well, usually when people get divorced, it's because it's an acrimonious situation. And therefore, when the person puts an almanat, that's a penalty. He wants litzara. He wants to cause her pain. So Tosafot makes that distinction over here and tries to clarify that sometimes when it's punitive in nature and it's just trying to tzara, then she has to do it. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. There are cases where it's just the ravacha, which is that he wants to make some money off of this. He's going to make some money. He's going to get some benefit out of this. So Tosafot says over here, where it's clear that he's not trying to cause her pain, but simply to gain some benefit, that she nurses the child or she takes care of his father. In that case, even if she did none of it, it doesn't matter because all he wanted was to save having to hire someone to deal with his child or deal with his father, and that he doesn't need to do anymore because they passed away. And since he has to pay, he wasn't looking to cause her any pain. And that's why Tosafot says over here, even if she did none of it, it works, because all he wanted was not to have to pay for someone. Now he doesn't have to pay for someone, so he got the benefit that he wanted anyway. It's difficult to understand how Tosafot knows which is which. And even Rashi himself, I told you before, is soter, even within divorces, he says in one case, divorce, people don't want to get divorced. In other case, he says, oh, divorces are acrimonious, so it's litzara. So even Rashi himself seems to be poseach al shnei asipim. And the truth is that there are different divorces. Some divorces are acrimonious and difficult, and the person wants to cause pain to the other party. And other divorces are where the person, even though they're getting divorced, really doesn't want to divorce, and therefore tries to stall or buy time not to have to divorce. So it probably is both possibilities. Tosafot seems to think that in this case it's clear it's lirvacha. Says, this is your get if you service my father for 2 years. Or that you nurse my child for 2 years. Meita ben, if the child passes away. Oh. So over here, it could be meita, which is another girsa in the Mishnah. Oh, shamar av ef shishi tishamsheni. I don't want her to service me anymore. Shalobak pada. Even though she didn't do anything to provoke that response. It wasn't that she was giving him a hard time, and therefore the father says, get this girl out of here. No, simply she was doing it, and he wasn't interested in having her anymore. Ain't no get. It's not a get. Now, certainly, if she provoked it, it certainly is not a get, because she caused the problem. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, because it's a get. No, that is a good get. What's the klal? Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, kol hakava, shein hamena, any cause for non-fulfillment, which is not from her side, how is it get? As long as she is not the cause for the non-fulfillment, then she's done what she could, and therefore she's entitled to a get over here. He said do it for 2 years. She can't do it for 2 years because the object which she's supposed to deal with is gone, or doesn't want it. That's not her fault. That's not her fault. She did everything that was in her control, or within her realm of possibility, and therefore she's divorced. The Chachamim say, when you specify the time, the way Rashi terms it over here is, he didn't have to specify the time. She would have had to nurse him for 2 years anyway. That's a time that's given. The fact that he specifically states the time shows you that he meant the time exactly. And if you don't fill that time, it doesn't work. Now, Tosafot asks over here, what was the question earlier when Rava said, Netina ba'al korcho, that it works? According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel over here, who says the klal is, as long as the akava is not from her side, then it's considered fulfillment. Why don't we say the same thing with regards to when he says, this is your get, almanat, shetitnei le, matayim zuz, as long as you pay me 200 zuz, she should be able to hand him the 200 zuz. If he refuses to take it, that's not an akava from her side. She's not causing the non-fulfillment. He's causing the non-fulfillment. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that should be a fine get. Why doesn't Rava invoke Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? The halacha here is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because we just know, we saw Rabbi Yochanan, who told us, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, everywhere in Shas and Mishnah, except for Tzidan, Arev, and Rayachrona. That's not one of these cases. Here the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. This should have answered our question before, that you should be able to give the money Baal Korcho, just like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says over here. So tell us what it says, no, the cases are different. Yesh lomar, docha vaday l'arvocha ba'al ma'asakein. Once again, he invokes this principle that over here, he's definitely doing it to save money, to make money. That she's doing something that he would otherwise have to pay for, to someone to take care of his father, someone to take care of his child. And therefore, when the object of the condition dies, then he got whatever he wanted out of her. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's that case over here. In the case where the money, who says it's l'arvacha ba'alma? Over there, it could be litzure, to cause her pain, to make it difficult for her, and therefore, he wants to keep control of that situation and deny the giving of the money. He didn't want just the money. He wanted to make it difficult, or, like Rashi said, he wanted to postpone the divorce in order to buy time to see if he could appease her. But in either case, it wasn't the fact that she was going to give the money. It was the fact that he was going to accept the money that made the get final, and that's why we can't compare the two cases according to Tosafot. Umi bi'inan kulehai. Do we need that much? Meaning, does she have to really fulfill the full 2 years? How much does she have to fulfill in order for the get to be an effective get? Birmini, we have a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Shimashto yom echad, henikto yom echad. She serviced him 1 day, or she nursed the baby 1 day, or is a get. Then it is a good get. That's correct. That's the problem here. The Braita seems to indicate that she just has to do it for 1 day, and then she's done. So I'm Rav Chista, lo kasho. That's not a problem. Harabonon, Harav Shimon Gamliel. The authors of this Mishnah and the Tosefta are different. Matznitin, our Mishnah, is authored by Rav Shimon Gamliel. Ubraita, Rabonon. And the Braita is authored by the Rabonon. Now, the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, not the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah, but the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that said earlier that you can give money instead of or in lieu of whatever's there. That means that Rabbi Shimon believes that the harvacha mikaven, he's just trying to make money, he's trying to save money here. So whether she physically does it or gives him the money, it doesn't matter. So therefore, kolzman shu tzarich lianeh kamar. That means that as long as there's a need for nursing, he wants her there because he intends to make that money or to save that money in having her nurse the baby. A Rabbanan, on the other hand, who don't let you replace it with monetary payment, the Rabbanan there believed whatever he exactly he said, that's what you need. And that's what she did in the Tosefta. He said, nurse. He said, service my father. And she did exactly that. She served his father, she serviced his father, and it's done. So Gemara says, Wait a minute. Hamid is safer of Shimon Gamliel. Havi Miklal Dereshal of Shimon Gamliel. In our Mishnah, we have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel about another issue mentioned explicitly, which implies that the ratio, or the first part of the Mishnah, is not altered Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ella, do it the other way around. Bright or Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he to make ill by Tanai. The bright is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who's make ill by Tanaim, and says that when you say it's Tanai, you don't mean exactly what you said, but you can even replace it with money. So therefore, also over here, when he said, just, you know, nurse the baby, service my father, he didn't mean for the whole period. He just meant do a little bit and that's enough. Matznita and Rabbanan, the Mishnahs, the Rabbanan who say that what he says, he means. And therefore you have to do the whole thing. So that's the way the Rav Chisda deals with it, by saying that the Tosefta and the Mishnah are authored by different Tanaim. And in doing so, you can explain the difference between the Mishnah and the Braita. So Tosfot over here, by the way, says that the easiest way to explain the Braita, according to Rashi, is to say that they died after he did the nursing or the with servicing his father for one day. Our Mishnah, according to Rashi, is talking about a case where she never serviced them at all. Never took care of them, never did anything from them. In that case, it would be a zero, and she would not get the get unless she fulfills the whole time. The Braita is talking about a case where she did the Shimush for one day and the Hanukkah for one day and then died. Tosfot says you could have answered like that for Rashi, but the Tosefta never says that they die. And therefore, it's not implicit in the Tosefta that the reason she only did it for one day is because they died afterwards. Rather, it seems like she just did it for a day, and that was sufficient to fulfill the condition. And that's why Rav Chisda is searching for authorship, or now we're going to see Rova gives a different answer over here. So Rav Chisda first suggested that the Mishnah is authored by Rav Shimon Gamliel because he's looking out for profit. And profit means as long as he needs to pay for this, he wants her taking care of this. The Rabbanan believe that it's about Sarah to cause her pain. As long as she did something of it already, that's enough pain or embarrassment for her, and it's done after one day. We reverse that because it's strange that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would be the author of the Reisha and the Seifa, but he's only mentioned explicitly in the Seifa. So therefore he flipped it around and suggested that the Braita is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that we're making it by Tanai. As long as he got something out of this, that's enough, because he doesn't need the exact wording to be carried out. Whereas the Chachamim believe that they are the authors of the Mishnah, where they think we hold her to the exact wording that he used in the Tanai. Rav Amar, lo kasha. There's no kasha here. Kan bistam, kan bimifarish. The difference between the Bright or the Tosefta is the Mishnah is a case of stam, and that's why he says stam is steishanim, because steishanim is the default period for nursing. So when he makes no stipulation about time, then we assume that it's 2 years. On the other hand, the Bright is a case of Mifaresh. We said, do it for one day, and that's sufficient. And she did it for one day, and she's done. Coming to teach you, La Fuke, Kamashman, Dafka Iniktov Shimashto Yomechad. Only if she serviced him for one day. Avamait, Veloniktov Shimashto Klal, Enu Get. In the case of Mifaresh, even Tosfot will agree that if she did nothing, it wouldn't work. Because over there, he specified a specific amount of time. And specifying a specific amount of time, you have to accomplish that, otherwise it's not considered an accomplishment. So that's the way Rova explains it. Rova says, I can explain it even according to the Chachamim in both cases, the differences between Mifaresh and Stam. Rav Ashi Amar, Kol Stam, Nami Kimifaresh Yom Echad Dami. Rav Ashi disagrees with Rova. He's not coming here to argue about his explanation between the Bright and the Mishnah. We'll see how he deals with that later. Right now he's just arguing on his position, and whenever you have Stam, when you say by default and you give no time, that is automatically 2 years. Rav Ashi says, when you say stam, you make no stipulation of time, one day is the amount of time. That's the default of this. Tznan, what about our Mishnah? Kamayim inakto shtei shanim, Rav Yehuda Omer, shmona asar chodesh. Bishma ma'al rova necha. According to Rav, that makes sense, because he made a blanket statement, and now he has to do the default, which is 2 years or 18 months. According to Rashi, who says that stam, when you don't stipulate the time, one day is sufficient, then why in our Mishnah are you going for 18 months and 2 years? But Yom Echad Sagi, it would be enough with one day. Hachi Gamar. This is what it means. Yom Echad Mishtei Shanim, one day out of the 2 years. Lafukei Lachash Tei Shanim. To lo, to exclude a case after the 2 years. In that case, it wouldn't work. Yom Echad Mishmona Asar Chodesh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, one day within the 18 months, lafukei lachar shmona asar chodesh, delo. After that 18-month period, we not. What Rabashi explains in the Mishnah is that when he says Stam means one day. Doesn't mean one day any time in the rest of her life. It means one day within this finite period of 2 years where nursing is meaningful. Or one day within the 18 months, according to the Rebbe, where nursing is meaningful. So that's what he means. He says, Stam means one day. So then why are you giving periods of 2 years and 18 months? That's the period in time where she needs to do one day of nursing in order to get the get. If she does it after that period of time, it's not called nursing anymore. It has no semblance to what his condition was, and she won't get a get in that case. Now, Gemara says, Meitave, the second half of our mission. Harizeki teich amanat shetishamshi et abba shtei shanim, amanat shetiniki et bini shtei shanim, meita ben, osha marav yefshi shetishamsheni, shalo bakpada, as long as she didn't provoke that, ain't no get. It's not a get. Bishlolom the rovo. According to Rava, we can understand the difference between the Reisha and the Steifa. Reisha, b'dolo parish. The Reisha is a case of Stam. And that's why if they die, or there's something that terminates that possibility of her servicing them, then it's done and the get is a good get. Seifa, de parish. The Seifa where he explicitly says the time, then she's bound to that time. And if something happens that's out of her control that limits that time, it won't be a get, as Rashi says over here. Al korchach dafko kamar. Dahalo istik lefrushe uparish. He definitely is saying a dafko because he had no reason to explicitly say 2 years. That was the default. The fact that he says 2 years must mean that he's makpid on 2 years. Tosfot, we'll see in a second, disagrees with Rashi's understanding like that. Elul Ravashi, maishna resha umaishna seifa. According to Ravashi, what's the difference between the resha and the seifa? As Rashi notes over here, Damar Reisha Matnita and Yom Echad Kamar. The way that Rashi is explaining the Reisha of our mission, he has to do only one day. Al Korchach Meita Beno Av Diktani Kigon Shemait V'loi Nikto Klal. Meita Beno Av Diktani Kigon Shemait V'loi Nikto Klal. He didn't do anything. But Mayar is a get. Then why is that a get? Arenu Tkeim Klum in a Tanai. Nothing of the Tanai was fulfilled. Because the only way to distinguish between the Reisha and the Sefer from here, if you say in the first case, he only has to do one day, and in the second case, he should also only have to do one day, it should be sufficient, then what's the difference between the case where it is a get and where it's not a get? The answer is that it has to be prior to her doing anything. If it's prior to doing anything, then even in the ratio, Rashi says that's not a good get. You have to at least have done something in order for it to be a get. According to Ravashi, when you say stam, it also means v'yom echad, and the sefer we say shtei shanim means shtei shanim, then what's the difference between the resha and the sefer? It must be that the case is a case before she did anything, because before she did anything, then that's what fails in the second half of the Mishnah. Well, if that's the case, in the first half of the Mishnah also she did it before she did anything. But then why is it a good get in the resha of the Mishnah? And this is Rashi the Shitato, which Tosfot pointed out before, that Rashi believes that if she did nothing, it's not a good get. Tosfot now argues on both these points of Rashi. Tosfot over here says, Ve'ein nira l'ri, number one, that since he said it, when he didn't have to say it, he means dafka. And number two, that he explains within Ravashi Shita that if she did absolutely nothing, then it would not be a good get. The Re disagrees with both of those points. Vei Nira, to the Kulayama, Meita Ben, Hanushalinikto Klau, Kinapayish Pirat Nitin. Tosfot says, like I explained on the Mishnah, when it says that they didn't nurse, it means they didn't nurse at all. Vei Nira the Re, the Farish, Bishlomo the Rova, why is Rova's easy to understand? Besefin the Parish, the whole Parish Stationim, Vale the Tsura Kamikave. Tosfot again is using this idea that if he specified 2 years, he's not doing this for profit. He's doing this to give her a hard time. Because if he had said it's stam, it would have been 2 years anyway. The fact that he specifies 2 years means that he specifically wants 2 years, and he's trying to do it to make her life miserable. If that's the case, and they die before that point in time, or the father says, I don't want it, then it's no longer the tzura. And he's not going to forgive that. He's not going to give up on that. It has to be fulfilled completely. Whereas in the resha, where he said it's stam, that was just the harvocha. He wanted to benefit from her doing that, so he didn't have to pay the money. And that means that if they pass away, or the father doesn't want it anymore, then he got all the harvocha that he wanted, and that's why it's a good get, according to Rova. Ella, the Ravashi, came into Reisha, Nami Avi b'mifaresh yom echad. The Reisha is the equivalent of being mifaresh yom echad, Hari Nami nitkaven litzora. That the Reisha is also a case where he wants to cause her pain, because according to Ravashi, Anything you say is explicit. When you say in the Reisha, it's stam, it means one day. When you say it in the Seifa, you said Shtei Shanim, it means 2 years. But in either case, you're explicitly stating the amount of time. By stating the amount of time, that means that his purpose is in causing her difficulty. And that means if in any way she fails to accomplish that, then it should be a failure in the get. And then why in the Reisha is it a good get? She didn't accomplish that one day because he wanted Litzura. He wanted to cause her pain. Tosafot sees the fundamental differences here between Harvacha and Litzare. He explained the difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah according to that. And he also now explains the difference between Rova, between the Reisha and the Seifa, as well as why Rav Ashi can't make a distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa, because Rav Ashi is saying it's Litzura in both cases, whereas Rova can say one is Litzura, one is Harvacha. So Tosafot carries that out. We saw Rashi differed on his distinction that he drew here. And one of the major nafkaminot is when the baby passes away or the father passes away before she does anything, according to Rashi, that's not a fulfillment and there's no get, even according to the Reisha. According to the Tosafot, that's a full fulfillment of the Tanai, because all he wanted was to benefit from her doing it, not having to pay for it. And he got that benefit because he no longer has to pay for it. And that will be a fulfillment of the Tanai. Tosafot read over here notes, V'kevan ditokom Rav Ashi, since Rav Ashi was left with the kasha, therefore hilchata kirova. The hilchata is like rova, that when you say stam, means that kol zman hemika. The amount of time that it normally nurses, the normal nursing of a child, according to the Chachamim, is 2 years, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be 18 months, and we paskin like rova, not like Rav Ashi over here. Okay, we're going to stop here, 3 lines down on the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph.